Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first podcast of the Four Seam Report. Today on the docket, we're going to talk about Cardinals 2018 season recap, gems and duds that emerged from the season, Moe's shopping list, and Bryce Harper and Cardinal Red. Let's get to it. So let me start with this. This is the first podcast of the Four Seam Report. And just to introduce myself, my name is Ryan LaRue, and I've been a Cardinal fan for a long time. And my family is Cardinal fans, and I didn't really have just a whole lot of choice. But I guess I started really taking the most interest about the same time that the core that they have now came up. So right around the time that Yadi started, Adam Wainwright started, and Albert Pujols was his full self, just bashing the daylights out of the ball. That was when I really took the most interest, and obviously when your team's winning, you take the most interest. Around 04, 05, 06 when they won, and just really dominant through those years. Welcome to a new era. It's different today. So I've been a huge fan for a long time. I live in a way between Memphis and St. Louis, so I catch Memphis games every now and then, see the farm system, and every once in a great while catch a ball game. I have followed people who are close to the team organization for a long time now. Primarily, if you're a Cardinal fan, I want you to stop what you're doing and whatever social media you use, look up Derek Gould. Derek Gould, that's G-O-O-L-D. This guy is the guy that you need to follow if you want real Cardinals news. He is the beat reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, covering the St. Louis Cardinals. And this guy is honest. He is, Buster only calls him the best beat reporter in the country. I stand behind it because I've seen several beat reporters come and go for the actual Cardinals team and for different other news organizations such as the Post-Dispatch. And this guy does it up right. As far as writing, understanding the team, being realistic, analyzing the results that come from the team, really good reporting. That's the main guy you need to follow. Now, you can also follow somebody like Jennifer Langosh, who is the Cardinals' official beat reporter. She is with the St. Louis Cardinals, and so she covers them for them. Now, the problem with this is, unfortunately, we are coming into a time where the teams are having more control over the output of information by their own beat reporters. And so, that being said, I trust what I get from Derek Gould even more than what I get from Jen Langosh. And so I follow both of them because it's necessary, but I trust what comes from Derek Gould even more because he is not bound to the team. He's bound to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, which seeks to get the truth out in information to people. And so you've got that. You've got other people like Joe Trezza. Joe Trezza's great, especially when it comes down to trade deadline stuff. That's somebody that you want to follow. Bernie Miklas is somebody that would be great to follow. He is unfiltered, unabashed Cardinals coverage and really St. Louis sports coverage. He's great. Any of those people are good if you want to follow them. What I'm making it my objective and job to do is to follow all these people for you so you don't have to. And the objective of this podcast is to offer you balanced coverage of the St. Louis Cardinals and Major League Baseball coming from diverse sources. And while I'm not a paid reporter, I am basically a big fan that understands these reporters and has a solid understanding of what this team does and the culture, what they do compared to everybody else. I'm going to give you a fan's perspective as a reporter and just give you from my point of view and gaining from all these different sources, different people that are close to the team in different ways. Somebody I didn't mention is Buster Olney, so he's a little more big picture. I pull from him a lot. And so these are great people that I'm going to use as sources to deliver to you the news about baseball. And my analytics, what I think is really going to happen. And so let's just kick it off here. I've got my cup of coffee. I'm ready to go. I just want to start, back it up a little bit, the 2018 World Series. 2018 World Series championship won by the Boston Red Sox. My prediction, I'm going to be honest with you. I'll be honest with you on this podcast. Understand that. My prediction on who was going to win it from the beginning of the playoffs was the Houston Astros. Why? Because I believe that they were the best balanced team. These people had hitting. They had pitching. They had bullpen. They had defense. They could run. Only thing that worried me is the fact that there were some injuries this year, but they seemed to overcome them by the time the playoffs got here, and they looked great. I predicted them to win, and they were taken down. And it became apparent. A lot of times, the team with the most wins is not the team that wins a World Series. And the Cardinals have discovered that themselves. And this year, I was wrong about that. I knew that an American League team was going to win because, I mean, look, this year, the American League teams were dominant. It was going to be either the Astros, the Red Sox, or the Yankees, or the Indians, in my personal opinion. They were just so much better than National League teams. It was going to be one of those people. And it became apparent as the playoffs got even further. It seemed like the Red Sox were getting better as it went along. And they were just destroying team by team. And it was from game one of the World Series, they were dominant. And they deserve all of it. And I'm telling you, in my opinion, the best team actually won. And just a great year. And what a World Series. I mean, two huge juggernauts of baseball. The Los Angeles Dodgers and the Red Sox. Come on now. That's a great World Series. Biggest payrolls. Biggest personalities. You know, biggest organizations. Fan bases. That's a great World Series all the way around. So just tremendous. So that was great. 2018 recap for the St. Louis Cardinals. Man, how disappointing. Let me just go through this real quick. I'm going to give you the gems and the duds from the season. I'm just going to give you three of each, and we'll go from there. And this kind of tells, in a way, gives you a picture of the season. The gems, the emerging players or factors from the 2018 season for the St. Louis Cardinals. Number one is Mike Schilt. Mike Schilt. This guy came in. I had no idea. I mean, the guy sits on the bench. You know, they bring people in. You don't know who they are. And they get to talking about him. I hear the coverage of him. He's an analytics guy. He loves baseball. Now, when you look at this guy, he is not a baseball player. Okay. Next time you see just a full body shot of this guy, take a look at his arms for me, okay? Take a look at his physique. This guy did not play like the rest of these. He's not Mike Matheny, okay? He didn't just come off the roster. Obviously, you know, he's not coming from that vein of experience. But anybody who knows him knows that he has great knowledge of the team. He is in it for this organization and this team. I really think that he would carry it all on his back if he had to get them where, Mo and Mr. DeWitt and Mr. Gersh want them to be. He is all about it all day. And when he came in, you know, I was thinking they would keep him on for a little while, and they'd be like, okay, at the end of the season, we're going to give him an interview. We'll also give one to Joe Girardi for these people and maybe sign Joe Girardi. And I think maybe that was the expectation in June when the transition occurred. And The dude just brought this team together, and you can say different things. You know, well, this player finally got hot, and that's all a factor for sure. But if you don't have somebody who can bring a team together, you can have superstars all over it, and it ain't gonna work. Okay, and so Mike Schilt, wow, what a find, what a addition to this team, just great. Number two, Jim, and I'm gonna try to hurry along here. Miles Michaelis. What's the nickname? What's the nickname? The Lizard King. Lizard King. If you don't know what that is, the dude ate a lizard when he was in Japan League, evidently, and so he became the Lizard King. And they could call him that for that reason, but I'm gonna call him the Lizard King because this dude is dominant. Okay, he's just tremendous. Let me see if I can get some stats real quick for you. I mean, he was basically the ace that the team needed this year. There's no doubt about that. I mean, he led in ERA, wins, WHIP, opponent batting average, innings pitch, complete. Okay, I'm looking through these stats. Top complete games for the St. Louis Cardinals. Mikolas in the lead with one complete game. Oh, if I don't tell the season for the St. Louis Cardinals. And so he was their guy. He was their ace for this year. I mean, there's no doubt about it. 2.83 ERA, 1.07 WHIP. They had a 2.45 batting average against him. He was 18-4. He's not just a huge strikeout guy. He had 146 strikeouts over 200 innings. But the guy is just, I mean, he came out there and dealt all year. He was the guy that was consistent. Consistent. That's the word of the day, folks. The St. Louis Cardinals are just praying for his consistency. Okay, so he was great, and they'll have at least one more year of him. And then we have Mr. Harrison Bader. Harrison Bader, my goodness. He was in the background for half the season. Schilt comes on and says, "This guy's good. I'm putting him in. These other guys are terrible right now, and so we're going to play to win." And so he starts putting Harrison in, and literally, the plays that Harrison Bader made are Jim Edmonds-esque or greater in some cases. There are some plays that this guy made this year that some people didn't think were even humanly possible for an outfielder. He's so fast, and finds such great routes to the ball, and he's got a great arm. You do not want to run on this guy. You want to actually watch to see if the ball gets caught. Don't just assume that it's in the gap and you're going to get a double. You actually have to pay attention now when he's out there. And so defense, it's absolutely needed. Harrison Bader was great. I could call out a few other people, but I'm going to move on to the duds because this is going to be fun. Disappointing players or factors. Number one, Mike Matheny. I don't think this is a shock to anybody. Mike Matheny has been a disappointment for a while now. Okay. Oh my goodness. It's just been a spiral for like 3 or 4 years now. And I've said it. And they put off things like this because they put the guy in place, but they finally, it was the last straw. And man, I went to a game not very long before he got fired, like a week before. And I'll share that with you here in just a little bit, but it just turned terrible. And the team was falling apart at every seam. They had spent millions and millions of dollars on some of these players to bring them over and be on a team that just, it was like it was diseased. And, you know, I mean, after a while, you can try to remedy it every other way, but, you know, I hate to bring Donald Trump in all this, but on Celebrity Apprentice, if you failed the challenge, most of the time, the project manager was the one who bore the punishment. And finally, that's what happened with Mike Matheny. Mr. DeWitt said enough is enough. And that's what happened this year. Quickly behind him, Dexter Fowler. Man, last year was, I mean, pretty good. Pretty good. That's what we kind of expected from him this year. Not good at all. Not good. A lot of money just went down the drain on a year from Dexter Fowler. And, you know, he claimed at some points because he wasn't getting the consistent enough starting time to turn the thing around. You know, players say that sometimes. Maybe if he were kept in long enough, he could have got the hang of it. But who knows? We're just going to hope for a reboot this year unless he's dealt away for somebody else to come in and take his spot. We'll see about that. Greg Holland quickly follows him up. Oh, my goodness. One of the worst signings in St. Louis history. That's not debatable. The guy was a flaming dumpster heap. And I don't mean that personal toward him. It was just his performance this year. That's what it was. Not good. Not good. And some say part of the reason for that's because he didn't really get an actual spring training to come in and be ready. And when it was all going down, I was like, why have you people not signed a closer yet? You do not have a closer. And we're in the middle of spring training. Finally, they signed him and he doesn't have time to really get ready. And that just all did not go down well at all. Greg Holland was a terrible sign. Ended up going over to the Nationals for a little bit. And I think he actually had a couple games. Of course, they paid him off. They paid for him to leave. Please and thank you. And the Nationals picked him up saying, well, maybe he can turn around. And I think he had a couple games where he was decent. And then the flames started again. And so I don't believe he's with them anymore. I don't know if he's going to play for anybody, to be honest with you. So there's three guys right there who were duds. Again, I don't mean that personal. I'm just judging the performance. Okay. Honorable mention behind all of that is Marcell Ozuna. Now, Marcell finally turned it on at the end of the year and was being a little more consistent. He changed a few things. He's kind of a stubborn guy, apparently, and he's been fighting through some problems as well. And the word is that he was having issues that the team knew about, but the player has to be okay with getting something done about physical issues. You know, I mean, if they're ailing, you know, you cannot just force them to go to the doctor and get this done. They have part of that decision too. And evidently he was bucking up against that a little bit. So that's not cool. Not cool, Marcell. And he had, I mean, a decent season, but let's all be honest, he's not what they were hoping for. And he'll be great to keep. You know, we've got him for another year. We'll see what happens after that. And this is a contract year, so it could turn up well. I expect it to turn up well for Ozuna in the coming year. He's got to work for a contract. And so we'll see what happens there. Now, looking ahead to 2019. This past year was the same result, different year. Almost in the playoffs. Hanging on by the skin of our teeth. The last few games of the season. My, how familiar. Sorry, I need some coffee. Almost in the playoffs. Almost. This is just a story, at least under Mike Matheny in his era. And it's hard for people to swallow that when it's been for so long under the last manager. Consistent contention every year. And so I went to this game in June. My wife is just amazing. She got me tickets to a Cardinals-Cubs game in St. Louis, the opening game for my birthday. Yes. And so we went off to St. Louis, and man, the rivalry does not get any better than Cardinals-Cubs. And Michael Wacha was pitching, and I don't know what happened. I'm thinking in my mind up to this point, he's been so dominant. Man, this is a shoe-in. We've got this win, you know, and this is it. Michael Wacha's in, and y'all going to lose. And we got in there, and they got blown out. Terrible. Matter of fact, let me just look it up. on the schedule. I can't remember the score. It was not pretty at all. Where's June? Here we are. Ah, yes. A Friday in June, 15th. They lost to the Cubs 13-5. 13-5. You want to talk about heartaches leaving that stadium? And Cub fans that were literally an inch from people's face, Cardinal fans' face. I observed this. I felt that we were seconds away from a thrown punch in situations leaving. And then the worst was hearing the Go Cubs Go walking out of that stadium. But hey, you know, you win some, you lose some, and it was great. I wasn't dragging the ground. I mean, a baseball game's fun no matter if your team wins or loses. And I respect the Cubs. I respect the Cubs. Great team. Better team right now than the St. Louis Cardinals. No doubt about that. So I went to this game, and it was just terrible. But no joke. No joke. They were winning so greatly and pouring it on in such a powerful way that there were Cardinal fans leaving in the droves. And by this point in the season, their record was not looking good. We're coming up on the trade deadline, and it's like, well, here we go again. And the fans were not happy, and it was a bad atmosphere. Terrible atmosphere on a beautiful day in June for Cardinals baseball against the Cubs. People were leaving. Cardinals fans were leaving in the droves. I know that happens, you know, when the game starts getting later, but I'm talking in the fifth inning, folks. People were getting out of their seats and leaving lines of people. And I'm just thinking, this does not look good if you're in the press box, if you're in the owner's seats. This does not look good. And it was not but a week or two afterwards that they made the big move of the year and got rid of Mike Matheny and replaced him with Mike Shildt. And it's that same result, different year. And it's just building on for this fan base that is not happy. People are disappointed. I've got a lot of friends that are Cardinals fans. And what I'm reading is that people feel like this is not the same organization. It's not the same era. We're in a different era right now. And it's not a winning one. And people are not happy. And so it's the same result. We get to the end of the year and we're almost in the playoffs. What has to change? The big word, I'm going to tell you what has to change. Consistency. Consistency. We're looking at several years where it's like they'll lose. Mediocre team up until, what, say you July. And then all of a sudden there's this urgency. Oh, my goodness, you know, we've got to pull this thing together. And if we're going to make a playoff run and look at the Cubs way up there and how consistent they are. Now, this year was a little bit of a, I don't know what you call it, an outlier of a season for the Cubs. You know, they didn't play as good as they are, we'll say that. And that probably helped us in our contention. And we're looking up, we got to do something. And every year it's, well, let's make this move, you know, and do this. And that'll do, and let's change our club culture here. And we'll do that. And then this year, finally, the big one, let's change our manager. And I think it was a right move. But then you get everybody together. And now you've had all this inconsistency for half of the season. And then all of a sudden now you want to turn it on and just slide into the playoffs on a banana peel. And it doesn't work. It does not work. You have to be consistent throughout the year. You've got to start winning against these divisional teams early and do it consistently. Finally, when Mike Shildt came on, what was it? They won like 9 or 10 series in a row. Just incredible. And I was like, yes, finally, you know, but man, what could have been? What could have been if they had started doing this a month earlier? A month earlier. They would have had the division. The Cubs started falling behind. The Brewers, really, at the end of the season, weren't doing as great as everybody thought they would. And there was an opening. And the Cardinals were lucky to have it, just didn't manifest. And so consistency has to change on the team basis, on an individual basis. People like Marcell Ozuna, it's got to change. And Matt Carpenter was great. Man, if you look at those stats, MVP candidate, but it wasn't consistent throughout the year. And I know that players have ups and downs, but this is not ups and downs. We were talking about the first 3 or 4 months of the season being like, what in the world has happened to this team? To then in July, what in the world has happened to this amazing team? You know, and so there has to be consistency somewhere. Where is that consistency going to come from? Hopefully Matt Carpenter has found his former self and will stay there. Hopefully Marcell Ozuna will have a better season. Hopefully Dexter Fowler will have a good season and will have some consistency there. Bullpen consistency. Another year where we've changed our closer in midseason, you know, and so, I mean, we made it with what we had, but maybe some consistency there. You see what I'm talking about? There is so much inconsistency. It makes for an inconsistent season that ultimately doesn't make it self-existent in the playoffs. This is the biggest problem for me, consistency. It's not even as much injuries. You expect injuries. I mean, Dexter Fowler injury, okay, you know, we can deal with that. I'm not going to blame that. I'm going to blame the fact that this is a really inconsistent team, and there's individual players that have been very inconsistent. So how are you going to fix that? You need at least one person who is going to be a rock. When you look back at the years that they have really put it on and won, there were people who were consistent rocks in that lineup, in that rotation. Now, obviously, the first person we turn to is Mr. Albert Pujols, who no longer is a rock of consistency. Okay, but they had him. They had Yachty. They had Jim Edmonds. They had Scott Rolen. They had Adam Wainwright. They had Chris Carpenter. You know, and these people were as consistent of rocks as they could be. Chris Carpenter, that guy is, he's hard-headed as anything I've ever seen. And he went out there and took care of business, which, by the way, they've had him on the bench involved with the team for a while now. I don't know if that's going to manifest into like a bigger job or what, but I thank God that the guy's around. He's certainly a great influence. But they had consistent rocks on the team, so many of them. And so I think that you have to start compiling people who are going to be consistent. And missing in this team is the presence of the consistent threat of a big bat. Marcell Ozuna was not that. Matt Carpenter became that, but can he do that again? And so you've already got, you know, getting mixed signals from these guys who could do it. This is the bottom line. They are going to have to go out and get consistency. And so in the last few moments of this podcast, let's talk about the front office think tank. Right now, miles away from you, unless you're in St. Louis. John Mozeliak, Michael Gersh, a team of scouts, and possibly, I don't know if he is that irate, Mr. DeWitt. Probably not. These guys are all together in a think tank, planning out what's going to happen over the next few months. This I can assure you, we're going to see at least one big addition over the next few months. There's no doubt about that. And they're coming up with their strategy. Nobody's going to know it. I hope sincerely that they reform the way they approach free agents with their pitch. It can't just be, oh, look at our heritage anymore, okay? It's not going to cut it. You're either going to have to pay big bucks above everybody else, or you're going to have to offer some serious benefits that nobody else is offering. Because what happens is these players come in and they hear your pitch on history and your desire to win now, which, I mean, if they look at it honestly, it's not happening. They hear all this, and then they go to the next team to hear their pitch in L.A., and they're like, hey, let's have a meeting out on the beach, bro. Okay? You know, let's go to, I don't know, let's go to Clayton Kershaw's house out here in L.A., and we can chill at his house, his beautiful house. I don't know if it's out on the beach or whatever, but you see what I'm saying? There are... These teams have other advantages in making a pitch. And so if they're on the coast, they've got a huge advantage, unless, you know, in some cases they don't want to be on the coast. If you're the New York Yankees, you can pay whatever. And if the New York Yankees are offering you a contract at this point and you have any desire to win at all, you'll say yes, because look at this team. Boston Red Sox, same thing. If you have any desire to win, you might even take a pay cut. Who knows? And so the Cardinals are going to have to reform the way that they make offers to free agents this year. There's no doubt about that. That's got to change. And so maybe they're rethinking this right now in the front office. They're certainly identifying the players that they are desiring. There's no doubt about that. The ones they're going to make plays on, and you're going to have to figure that out quick because the winter meetings will approach very soon. And people are going to be tossing around ideas. People may make offers earlier than that. Who knows? But this, you can rest assured on. There's a huge free agent class, and the Cardinals are going to be involved with it. So what's the shopping list? What's Mo's shopping list this year? At the top of that shopping list is a big bat. A big bat. This is what they need most, the consistent threat of a big bat. It's not been there for a long time. It needs to be there. It's going to advance this team. It's what everybody needs. You know, even the fans, we need that guy that we can point to. This is the player. This is the guy, you know, and somebody who can carry you on their back, at least figuratively, if everybody else decides that they're not going to play today. Like Dexter Fowler and Marcelo Ozuna, you know. Even Matt Carpenter, he wasn't playing for a long time. And I know it's not all their fault, but you got to have something to back that up because you never know if it's going to happen again. So need a big bat. Bullpen reform, okay? There's going to be some big changes to the bullpen. You may need a backup catcher. And an infield signing, maybe, because Greg Garcia is gone. As a matter of fact, they just in the last couple of days, they waved bye to several players. Greg Garcia, they parted ways with him. Him and Matt Bowman were claimed off waivers. Greg Garcia, he was claimed by the Padres. Matt Bowman claimed by the Reds. And so those guys are gone. Those were great players and great additions to those teams. I know that Matt Bowman didn't have that great of a year, but you look at his track record, he'll bounce back somewhere. And so he'll be good for somebody. Greg Garcia was just a really good utility guy. Defensive wizard was great. Did an awesome job. So he'll help somebody out. And they waved bye to backup catcher Francisco Pena. And so he's out. He elected to become a free agent after he cleared waivers. And so... they wave bye to all of them. Not only that, but Matt Adams, Tyson Ross, and Bud Norris are all now free agents. If they were going to sign any one of those guys, I would lean toward Bud Norris. They might keep Bud Norris because he can close games. He might sputter out, but he can close games, and they don't know if Jordan Hicks will be able to stick it in the role. So... they might sign him back. So you're losing all these guys. You're going to have some bullpen help. You're going to have a backup catcher, which might be solved from within. You know, you got Carson Kelly, who they're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to keep him, or are we going to use him as a trade chip? They've got another guy who's coming up as a pretty good catcher. I can't remember his name. And then you got to replace Greg Garcia. So there's going to be some signings. And really, they made room for people to come off the DL, like on the roster. So these guys leave, and Dexter Fowler, Alex Reyes, Michael Wacha, Luke Gregerson, these guys can come back on the roster. So that's what happened there. And so these positions have to be filled. So that's the shopping list. But at the forefront of it there is the question of a big bat. If there was a season that you could pick from that you were going to sign a big bat, this is that offseason, son. Biggest free agent class, most talented free agent class that we've seen in a long time. And that's the time. That's the time. And I think that they'll do it. It's going to be somebody that's a superstar. I mean, and you say, well, how do you know that they can even do that? Well, I know it because of the fact that they offered the biggest contracts they've offered to anyone in recent seasons, even though they weren't accepted. They offered one to Mr. Guy in Chicago, Jason Hayward. Thank God he didn't take that contract, right? you got Jason Hayward, who said, see ya, I'm going to go to the Cubs. Y'all are too old. Well, the last on him, because if you see this team coming up now, they've got a lot of potential, really, in young guys. They offered a bunch of money to him, offered a bunch of money to David Price, like $200-some-odd million. And then last year, last offseason, this time last year, offering the biggest contract in Cardinal history ever offered to Giancarlo Stanton. They've got the money. They've got this Fox contract, television contract. The cash is coming in, folks. The cash is coming in. And they can offer. That really, the question is it a guy they want to pull the trigger on? So they've got the money. And they can offer the money if it's somebody they really believe in, that they really want. And so they can do it. So I'm going to make my predictions for 2019. Just a few quick predictions, and then I'm going to let you go. I'm going to predict. Get ready for this. I was saying for a while that I thought the Cardinals would go for Machado. I like Manny Machado. Manny Machado's great. But here's the problem with Manny Machado. He's right-handed. And the Cardinals desperately, desperately need a left-handed bat. And so, my prediction for 2019 is that Bryce Harper is going to be in Cardinal Red. Just yesterday, and you know, I was really thinking for a while it was going to be Machado, but just yesterday, you know, I'm listening to all these different reporters. There are lots of people that are saying that the Cardinals are for Harper. Now, this guy's looking for a huge contract. I've heard some people say he's looking for 14 years. And north of $400 million. We're getting up near $500 million here, ladies and gentlemen. Goodness. It's going to be 10 years or more. He may redefine the term long term. And so there are people that seem to think that Bryce Harper has a good chance to be a Cardinal. You never know if it's going to happen or not. The Cardinals are the ones with the money. and they're going to make the offer to him. We know that he cares a lot about heritage. He cares a lot about team history, obviously winning and fan bases. Hey, this is a place for that. This is a place for that. And I really do think they have the money to offer that. And it's going to be at least $30 million a year. I mean, Clayton Kershaw just got like $31 million a year for 3 years, something around that. Bryce Harper's getting more than that. It'll be north of $30 million. And so you're talking about a huge commitment. They're going to have to sit down and think about that. And Machado will get something big too. And they say, well, Josh Donaldson's out there, and the Cardinals will end up going for him. Here's why I'm saying no. Consistency. Josh Donaldson cannot prove to you right now. He's not had the season to prove that he's who he has been before. I mean, he had issues this season, had injuries, and he's older than Bryce or Manny. And so it's like, if you really want consistency, Donaldson's not the way you're going to go. Now, if it comes down to it, you'll sign him if Harper and Machado goes elsewhere, perhaps. But, honestly, if we're talking about consistency, you'll get it from Harper or Machado. You're more likely to get it than from Josh Donaldson. And so that's why I think they're not going to go for him. I think they're going to go for Harper or Machado, and I'm leaning towards Harper. I think he's a good fit. I think the fans would love him. Man, it would just be a shot in the arm for this team. So that's my prediction. I'm not saying it's absolutely going to happen. I'm going to tell you the truth. There's lots of teams out there with a lot more money than the Cardinals. And if the Dodgers decide, hey, we want him for 14 years, well, he may very well do it. The Yankees have said that they're out on him, but they may be in on Machado. But should the Yankees just say, hey, we can offer you more than all these people. So you see what I'm saying? I mean, I think that's who the Cardinals are going to go for, but they have some steep competition going into that. And then there's the Phillies, who have $0 on their payroll and have for a while. And they've been stockpiling this money, just ready to give it to somebody. So that's the first prediction. Hurrying along here, I'm going to predict that Bud Norris re-signs with the St. Louis Cardinals, because they need some backup for their closer. And he'd just be a good bullpen piece anyway. Backup catcher. There'll be a backup catcher signing. And I don't know. They may bring Pena back. I don't know. Somehow they've got to fill that role. So there's that. They've already worked a deal out with Adam Wainwright, which I think was a great idea. I think that needed to happen. I think he'll retire as a Cardinal. And then your bullpen, I think that there is somewhat of a chance that they'll go after Nathan Eovaldi, who was just impressive in the postseason. And so we may see that manifest. I think they can make a run at him, you know. I think a lot of teams will. He demonstrated some great ability this year. And so those are my predictions. You know, these Cardinals, they don't let you know what they're doing. They are really quiet. And so you don't ever find out until they attack. There's a different situation with Dexter Fowler. Somehow that got out. But you just really never know. And so this is going to be a big offseason. Big offseason for the St. Louis Cardinals. And we are just getting started right now. They are finalizing their plans and the routes that they're going to take, and they're going to go talk to people and see what they can make happen. And I'm going to be there with you through it for every major story. And so kind of what I'm planning on doing is, up until the season starts, about once a week, maybe I'll throw a podcast in, about once a week, and just kind of give you my take on what's happening, my reporting, and analyze what's going on with the St. Louis Cardinals, hoping for a better year this year. And I'll cover a little bit of around baseball, different situations. I won't just stick with the Cardinals, but that's going to be the focus of this podcast. And so, man, we're looking forward to a wild ride of an off season. And it's all up to Mo. It's all up to Mo. Just putting this in on the side. Honestly, think about this. If they went so far as to fire their manager because of another season where you almost got in the playoffs, if they went that far, what's the next step? The next step is front office. Don't think that Mr. DeWitt is beyond firing his baseball ops guy, his general manager. Don't think he's, he'll do it, and that would be the next thing. So what I'm telling you is this, Mr. Mo, Mr. Gersh, they're on the line right now, and there is pressure, and it's coming from the ownership, and it's coming from the fan base. And so for that reason, I think that they're going to go out and do something to really impress this fan base, really, really put a shot in the arm for this team. Don't know when it'll happen. Don't know who the exact people will be, but we're going to see all of it, and you're going to hear all about all of it right here on the Four Seam Report. So, what I've got for you, if you would please subscribe to this podcast. Subscribe and get it as soon as it comes out. You'll get it on your phone, your tablet, whatever you listen to podcasts on. You'll get them as soon as they come out. Give us a rating. Give us a rating. Tell us what you'd like to hear, and I'll be glad to adjust for this fan base because I love this fan base. We've got a great team, and I just love baseball. Baseball's great. And so we'll see you hopefully next week right here on the Four Seam Report.